Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the February 16th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Like mighty oaks nourished by flowing streams,
we root ourselves in the steadfast love of the Lord.
Day and night, meditating on God's wisdom,
so that our lives may flourish and bear fruit in due season.
Come, let us worship the one who sustains and strengthens us.
Next is the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Scripture reading this morning is Psalm 1. I'm reading through from the New International Version. Thank you, Gina, for getting it to me early so I could do this with it, so I could actually read it. So here we are for Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, O God, You Are My God.
We now turn to our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6 through 7, verses 17 through 26. I'm reading from the Message translation, and it will sound different perhaps than the Pew Bible if you are turning to it to read along. Coming down off the mountain with them, Jesus stood on a plain surrounded by his disciples, and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch Jesus. So much energy surging from him, so many people healed. Then he spoke, "You are blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. So skip like a lamb if you like, for even though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But if it's trouble ahead, you think you've made it. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself, because yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you know you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. This is the word of the Lord. We continue in a sermon series where we are following Christ's call, which is a journey through transformation. Today's portion of that series is challenging us to live the kingdom. The other day, I was standing in line, and after I purchased my postage stamps, I was heading out, and I happened upon a person I knew in line. And as I was passing, I said, "How are you?" And she said, I am blessed. You know, I'd already stood in line for a long time, and my schedule didn't allow me to hang around, but I really wanted to ask follow-up questions, say, "What do you mean by I am blessed?" It wasn't the time for a deep discussion. Most of us define blessing as good health, or maybe prosperity, or even good fortune. Remember the old hymn as it reminds us to count our blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessing, see what God has done. We often think blessings as life's comforts, like maybe a steady job, a loving family, good health. But what if blessings aren't just about ease and abundance? What if they sometimes wear the disguise of hardships? That blessings come with hardships. Our passage here, and I'm using a different translation, Luke 6, 17 through 26, it gives us a radical perspective on blessings and woes. Jesus speaks to that crowd as they gather in round him, and he turns worldly expectations on its ear. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh." And then comes the warnings, the woes. "Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry." This is the parallel passage to Matthew chapter 5, where we hear, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful." But in Luke's gospel, we have such an edginess to it, don't we? As he turns everything on its ear. There's an ancient parable, and it tells, this ancient Chinese parable tells of a young man who's run away. I'm sorry, his horse has run away. And his father simply says to him, "You never know. Your horse running away could be a blessing." When the horse returned, bringing with it a fine stallion, everyone celebrated. Again, his father warned, you never know. This could be a curse. And when the young man broke his leg riding this new horse, people pitied him. His father said, "You never know. It could be a blessing." And again, when war broke out in that area and all able-bodied men were sent to the battle, this boy could not go because he had a broken leg. Is it a blessing? Is it a curse? Life is full of reversals. Jesus taught that the kingdom belongs to the poor, belongs to the hungry, and that the hungry will be filled, and belongs to those who mourn because they will laugh. What the world values, it often proves to be empty. That while the struggles shape us in ways prosperity never could. I remember saying it to my son just after they lost a very heart-wrenching, close soccer game. I said, "You learn far more about playing soccer and where you need to improve when you lose than when you win." To truly live the kingdom is to embrace this paradox, trusting that even in difficulty, God is at work. Consider the man who wins the lottery and watch his life unravel. His expectations rise as this huge sum of money is now his. And the first cut goes to taxes. You know how that goes if you ever follow the lottery. But then this person believes, oh, this money will never run out. But you know what? It always does. That after the cars are purchased, after the house is paid off, after the expensive bills are now the way the person lives, they no longer have the lottery win, but they have the lottery expectations. And they are miserable. What looks like a blessing can become a burden. Pastor Philip McLarty says this in a story about his own kids. And I've hesitated telling too many stories about my family because at one point they're going to hear it recorded and the message and they're going to say, Dad, quit telling stories on us. So I'll use his stories about his kids as they grew up. His story goes like this. When I was younger, my children found a skateboard. It had found its way coming down river and settled in the underbrush there at the river. They wanted a skateboard and had for months, but my wife believed that skateboards were trouble. Yet, it washed up and it was as if by fate, well, maybe it was meant to be. So she let them keep it. What seemed like a lucky find really quickly turned sour. Because what came up with this one skateboard and two boys who wanted to use it at the same time, there were constant arguments. And then when one was riding it, there were constant scrapes and bruises and tears and band-aids and more. One day, after one more fight that they were having, my wife had had enough and said, "You were having such a good time before you found that skateboard." And the boys thought about it. And without a word said to us parents, they walked back down to the river and tossed the skateboard back into the river, that someone else could find it and someone else could argue over who wrote it and how injured they were when they fell down. What had looked like initially a blessing had become a curse. It's a pattern that we see over and over and over again. Someone gets a dream job, and this dream job, its stress and the long hours they have to work it take a toll. A family moves into a bigger home, only to be burdened by an overwhelming debt on this bigger home. But if a blessing can turn out to be a curse, the opposite is also true. Garth Brooks sang a song about unanswered prayers. The song was about the love he once begged for, prayed to God for, and how he learned that it kept him from the life that he was meant to have. The lyrics say this: after years of being away, the lyrics say this: "She wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams. And I could tell that time had changed me. In her eyes too, it seems. We tried to talk about the good old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing, after all. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember that when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he may not answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." I invite you to look up that song and see it with the video that accompanies it, where he's pining over a past situation. Now he's married another woman and his life has gone in a very different direction. And he looks back and goes, "It never should have gone that way." Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. It's true that it's only after some hindsight that we suddenly have clear vision about what could have been and that wasn't what we wanted. And what did come about is so much more that's so much more blessed. How many times has a lost job led to a better opportunity, a new and better job? How many times has a heartbreak paved the way for real love? A setback forced a redirection, and that redirection turned out to be exactly what we needed. How many times has what we thought a blessing turned into a curse, and a curse turned into a blessing? I know you've heard the saying, I ask God for strength that I might achieve, and I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things, and I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. Instead, I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of others. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, and yet I got everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered, and I am, of all people, I am most richly blessed. We are invited to live the kingdom. Along the way, we might find ourselves echoing the words of the Apostle Paul, that while he had attempted to serve God in all things that he was doing, and yet he was battered, rejected, he still proclaimed in the midst of that, from Romans chapter 5, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance brings about character, and character, with it comes hope. Blessing or a curse? A curse into blessing? If we turn to Genesis, the Old Testament character of Joseph, the favorite son, out one day with his brothers, betrayed by them and sold into slavery. And yet, after one event after another of cruel twists of fate, he became the second most powerful man in Egypt. And when his own family, his own brothers came asking for food as the whole nation was in famine, when he confronted his brothers, he said, "You meant evil against me, but God meant for good. God brought about good." God has a way of meeting us when our prayers are unanswered by giving us a much better answer and taking curses that we would say, "Oh, this is the worst." And God turns them and uses them in ways that we would never have imagined, down a path we never would have gone ourselves. So as we have come from Luke chapter 6, it challenges us to rethink about what it means to be blessed. How are you? I'm very blessed, thank you. God calls us not to seek comfort, but to live the kingdom, embracing a reality where hardship refines us and where true blessings come out of, not in wealth, but in faith, perseverance, and love. God weaves our triumphs and trials into something greater. Like it says in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. My mother had a favorite phrase, and it usually came out when things were at their worst. I remember in her car and in her latter years, well, the front end came apart, that one day it was working, and then at an intersection, suddenly the one tire lurched to the inside and she could drive no further. If you wanted to know the parts that failed, it was her ball joints, and I knew that because Ken and Roger would ask me later. But that's for fellowship hour. And in the midst of that, she now had a non-working car. She said, "Okay, Lord, what are you going to do with this?" She saw it as a curse, saw it as a tragedy, thought as, "Oh, this is going to cost a fortune." We live in a world that often measures blessing as wealth, measures it in success. It measures it in comfort. And it's only when we are overflowing with wealth, success, and comfort that we are happy and fine. But that's not how God works. And for us to follow our Lord Jesus step by step, if we are to truly live the kingdom, it's to recognize that real blessings shape our character. When my mother's car broke, I learned how to fix it. It cost the parts, and that was all. These events shape our character. They also deepen our faith, and in so doing, they bring us closer to God. When my mother at that intersection said, "Okay, Lord, what are you going to do with this?" God had a plan. God had a plan. As God does with every one of our intersections where we say, "This has got to be a curse. This has got to be the worst." And yet God deals with us there. A failed plan, a loss, a challenge. These may feel like curses in the moment, but truthfully, they lead us to greater wisdom, deeper gratitude, and even unexpected joy. So the next time, and whether it's at the post office or somewhere else, when someone asks you, "How are you?" tell them, I am very blessed. Thank you.
Next is the hymn, "Christ is Risen." Shout Hosanna.
Christ is risen. Shout Hosanna. Celebrate this day.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom
Give us this day our daily bread.
Next is the hymn, O God of Every Nation.
Go in peace, my friends.